My name is Rachel Rofe. I created the show because I wanted to help you see that if you have a choice, you can choose a better life. If you're listening to this podcast, you're in a pretty fortunate position. You have free will, ability to connect to the internet, and access to all kinds of new education. This podcast is meant to help you make the most of your good fortune. We talk with all kinds of people here from all walks of life because I want you to see that no matter what your situation, there's always a way to create a life that you're proud of. So hello everyone, today we're here with Greg Taylor. After working in marketing and business development for over 10 years, Greg decided to pursue his passion for WordPress development and content marketing by starting his own company. Tired of seeing sites that looked great but don't achieve results, he founded Marketing Press to help business owners find the best of both worlds. In addition to leading the company, Greg has become well known in the WordPress community as a speaker and teacher. He's presented at several conferences, been featured on industry podcasts, and regularly appears on popular shows like WP Water Cooler and his very own Marketing Press TV. When he's not working on code or content, Greg spends his free time mentoring at Gangplank, talking in live music, hiking and playing sports in Tempe, Arizona, or hanging out with his family in his home state of New Jersey. I actually met Greg recently, and this is the first time that we're talking via voice, but one of the things that really stood out to me was just, you know, while I was going through his online portfolio, is just how well he seems to be able to blend work, and he does an amazing job with work and getting himself out there and having great relationships, but then also having a really robust personal life too. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, just a lot of work-life balance. So Greg, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's going to be fun. The intention behind A Better Life is to show people that if they have a choice, that they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, can you just take a minute to share with us some of the things that you're most proud of in your life?
I guess, you know, professionally, one of my most proudest accomplishments actually recently just happened, which is kind of cool, is my company, Marketing Press, was able to partner with one of the leading social media and content marketing agencies, Convince and Convert, headed by Jay Baer. And we built the first podcast search engine that specifically targets the marketing industry. So we built it all on the WordPress platform. Everybody said we couldn't do it, and there was no way we could build it on that platform. And we actually did, and it's launched, and it's been launched to rave reviews. Aside from that, other, you know, life accomplishments, you know, other than graduating college and all that good stuff, is, you know, it's more of the simpler things where, you know, I founded a business 6 years ago, and it wasn't working. So I made a pivot, and what I was able to do is I made a pivot early on, and that pivot became Marketing Press, where I am now. And, you know, I'm really proud to be, you know, an entrepreneur, and I'm proud to be sort of a lifestyle entrepreneur. And Marketing Press now is just about 5 years old, and, you know, we try to have fun and, you know, help people make their businesses better.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on those things. That's great. Can you tell us a little bit about, you said how you had to take a pivot. Can you let us know kind of what happened with that?
Sure. So, you know, early on, starting a company was everything I ever imagined it not to be. So I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought early on it was going to lead to a better life, and it was going to lead to more freedom for me and my now fiance, Christina. But what it was, I was in a company that wasn't going anywhere, and I was with a partner that we started not to see eye to eye on a lot of different, you know, levels. I was able to consult a lot of really good people, a lot of people smarter than I am. I consider mentors and really good friends, and say, this isn't working for me. What should I do? And they all said, you got to get out of it. You got to take the failure. You got to eject and get out, divorce the partnership and move on to something else. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I took their advice, and I think that I made a call to my then partner on the way back to the office on the lunch that we were at. And I said, you know, I'm out of this. I can't do this anymore. This is not working for me. I'm not happy. That's when, you know, I made the shift to go into exactly what I wanted to do and what was going to actually lead me to a happier life.
Wow. So was it hard for you to make the call, or was it just like you were just so disgusted? You were like, forget it.
You know, that's a great question, and one that I'm asked always. And the honest answer is, it was extremely easy for me to complain and to bitch and moan about how bad the partnership was. And I had confided in some really good friends and some confidants, and they said, look, man, we like hanging out with you. We really like you a lot, but you complain about the situation way too much. You need to do something about it. And they kind of kicked me, you know, enough to where I said, you know what? You're right. I have to do something about this. And on the way home, on the way back to the office from that lunch, I made the call and I made the decision on the spot saying, you guys are totally right. I have to get out of this because my happiness is worth more than this company that probably is never going to be anything, A, because we're both unhappy in it, and B, something that's making me totally unhappy and ruining, you know, all other facets of my life. If I'm not happy, you know, at work and whatnot, it affects everything. You know, it affects my fitness regimen, affects every single one of my personal relationships, not to mention my professional relationships. And it's just an unhealthy situation that I needed to get out of.
Absolutely. And not to harp on this, but just because I think it's so awesome that you're able to just make that tough decision, I'm curious what your partner said.
It was a loud conversation that I handled in probably one of the most unprofessional manners ever. You know, so it's like a divorce, right? If people aren't happy with one another, they're upset, they have resentment, they have everything. And this is the point where it all came out. And I'm not happy or, you know, how things ended on that manner. He understood. Eventually, I understood what he wanted to do. We agreed to part ways.
I appreciate the honesty. As I said before, you're just all over the place. You have so many great things going on. And then at the same time, like, you just really seem to have an amazing life outside of work. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're able to manage that?
So work-life balance for any entrepreneur, any business person is one of the toughest things to wrangle in and to manage. And if my fiance was sitting here in the room with me, she would probably be giving me a dirty look or elbow me in the ribs, because I definitely don't have it down pat. But I'm working on it. I'm trying to get better and better at this all the time. And one of the things that I found that I needed to do was, you know, like any small businesses, I started the business in the home. After a while, everything was just a blur between me getting up in the morning, walking into, you know, the spare bedroom that was the office, and me coming home from an appointment, walking back into the spare bed office. And it seemed like work never ended. So one of the best things that I was able to do is I made the decision to move out of the home to run the business. So I moved the business out of the home into a collaborative workspace at the time, Gangplank in Chandler, Arizona. And recently, about 6 months ago, we actually moved into our own office in Tempe. Having a little bit of separation was key to me. So like, most days, I leave my computer in the office. I don't even bring it home with me anymore. And Christina is just amazed that I'm able to do that. Because what happens is, I get up in the morning, I go for my morning run, or I go for my morning workout with my trainer. I come back, I shower, eat breakfast, I go to the office, and then that's where business is for me. And then at the end of the day, I go home, and I'm able to be present for Christina and the rest of the family, you know, when they come over, or friends and whatnot. So part of that whole thing was creating a healthy separation between where work was and where work ended and where my personal life started. And then, you know, where we kind of jump back into work.
That's a really, really awesome point. And I think it's even beyond just business owners now, like even people who have regular jobs. I mean, it's so hard to not be thinking about work all the time.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to say that I don't think about it. You know, I do. But the other thing that I've been able to do over and over is, you know, have better communication within my home about what's going on in the business. I grew up in the Northeast, and I grew up old school East Coast family where you don't talk about anything, you know, you don't share anything, you don't do anything like that when it comes to your problems or whatnot. The men of the family would say, I'm just going to handle it and don't you guys worry about things. But what I've realized is that doesn't really work for me anymore. You know, I'm 44 now. And what it is, you know, I've learned over the years is the more that I can include my fiance Christina into what's going on in the business, and I can share the good, the bad, opportunities are ahead of us, what challenges we may face, you know, the more she understands and the more she feels connected to the business. And also, you know, we're able to help one another with the life part of the work-life balance.
Yeah. So she doesn't mind, like when you're talking to her about the business, she doesn't feel like enough about it already?
Well, okay. So if I talk about the business, then she's all ears and she wants to hear about it. She wants to know what we're doing. She wants to hear, you know, projections and numbers or projects that are going, you know, off the track and, you know, different things that I need to do and, you know, employee issues or, you know, new hires, all that good stuff she wants to hear about. But she does get a little fed up time to time if I'm just talking marketing banter and jargon to her about the latest article or the newest WordPress function that's coming out there. That does get a little bit old. But she likes being involved in the business. You know, she comes and sees me speak when her time permits. She brings her mother. Her mother lives here in town. So, you know, she'll make it a family thing and come to, you know, different speaking engagements that I have. So it's pretty cool to include the family in and show them exactly what I do. There's that whole perception of, what do you really do? I know you own your company, but I don't really know what you do. You know, there's that. And I wanted to bridge that gap and kind of make sure that everybody knew exactly, you know, what I did, because I'm proud of what I do. I'm proud of what I built, and I want them to be a part of it.
Absolutely. So do you try to keep like certain hours for yourself when you're working?
I do. I try to make sure that I'm home by 6:30 at the latest. Sometimes I do have to go home and I'll eat dinner or go for an afternoon run or something like that. And then fire up a laptop at home to catch up on a proposal or two. But I make that the exception and not the rule. So I try to keep decent hours, you know, so that it's a little bit predictable. Part of the complaints, you know, with other entrepreneurial families that I hear is the lifestyle is so unpredictable. So while that is true, what I try to do is I try to control as much of that as possible when I can, because there are times when a client calls and says, hey, I need you in San Francisco in 2 days. Can you be here? And the answer is yes, I will be there. Or I need you in New York next week. Can you be there? Yeah, I will be there. So when those things come up, it's more the exception and not the rule.
So when you say you try to control the other things, how do you do that?
I try to do that by keeping a good schedule. I'm pretty task oriented. I work from a checklist and a Moleskine notebook, pretty lo-fi with a pen and paper still. I try to just take care of as much things and be as efficient during office hours as possible, so that when I do go home, I can actually be home and we can go out and play with the dog or go to dinner with other couples or whatnot.
So how are you efficient and effective? Like, what are some of your productivity best tips?
One of them is I keep Facebook closed most of the day. That can steal lots of people's time right there. I answer email about 3 to 4 times a day. You know, I don't answer them as they come in. We also have different IRC tools that we'll use for team collaborations with my employees or collaborative team. I'll keep that closed as much as possible, and I won't respond to everything as people ping me or ask questions for me. And then what I do is I look at my list and I prioritize it, and I say, today I have to get at least these things done. And then there are a couple of things that are on the list that can flex and they can move to the next day. And I just try to treat everything and give everything that I need to do with respect that it deserves and, you know, allot the time that it needs. The other thing that I don't do that's a great for any entrepreneur out there, if anybody calls and asks you, can I get coffee with you or can I buy you lunch to pick your brain? Say no. Always say no. And I'm going to tell you why is because your time as an entrepreneur is valuable. It's not only valuable to you and your company and your clients, it's also valuable to the people outside of your work life. So anytime you let that stuff, you know, there's no such thing as a 15-minute coffee or 30-minute coffee. If somebody is there and they get the opportunity to pick your brain, they will go there and they will go on and on and on until you basically have to cut them off. So that's one of the things I've been really, really good at saying no politely. So, you know, that's why my mentoring comes in and my teaching comes in at my collaborative workspace, where I will dedicate 3 office hours a month to people who need help so that I can say, no, I can't meet you for coffee, but if you want to make an appointment and see me here, you know, I'm more than happy to sit down and talk to you.
Oh, that's really awesome. You're making it just a helping in terms that actually work for you.
Yeah, and I'm making it a scheduled activity, you know, that's predictable again, you know, so that people know what to expect from me.
That's awesome. I'm going to implement that. I really like that. Saying no is really, really important. For me, at least, it doesn't feel good to say no all the time. So to have that set time.
Yeah. You don't want to be perceived as this rigid, obtuse person who's unwilling to help anybody or unwilling to give anybody your time. So I just kind of do it on my own terms that works for me, the family, and my business.
And well, you said you checked email a couple times a day. I'm curious, do you have your email open all day and then just answer it a few times, or do you actually go through everything?
So I do have the email open all day, only because I don't want to miss a client emergency or anything like that. I will leave it open, but I've just been forced in the habit of letting it be, letting some emails queue up, and then just go back and attack them at a later time.
Yeah. I'm curious, just from your old business to the one you have now, what do you think were some of the biggest mindset shifts that you had that helped you make this one such a success?
The biggest mindset shift was, you know, so to be honest with you, to be very, very transparent, I took on a partner in the first business when I should have hired an employee. I went partners with this other person thinking that it was going to solve the problems of the things that I didn't want to do, and namely selling and business development. And what happened was I took on a partnership and gave away a lot of equity in the company instead of hiring an employee. So I wouldn't make that mistake again. The other thing that I've been really getting better at is identifying what clients are good for me to work with, what clients aren't so good for me to work with, and also, most importantly, again, saying no to the projects that doesn't fit Marketing Press's wheelhouse and exactly what we're good at and what we're profitable at. Saying no to projects when the bank balance says you should probably say yes is one of the hardest things any entrepreneur needs to learn how to do. And over time and over getting burned over taking the wrong projects, I've learned that you have to step back and say, I'm going to pass on this one because it's not a perfect fit for me.
Yeah, so a couple things on what you said. First, my boyfriend, I don't know if you know him, Don Wilson. He has a lot of awesome courses. He does really well. And one of the things he says to his mentoring clients all the time is never partner for what you can pay for. And I think that's such great advice.
Oh, that's great advice right there.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's actually, I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah, it's good. He's good. And then the other thing I was going to touch on is you said sometimes just saying no to different projects, even when the bank account is low. And you know, it's interesting. I've heard so many people say that when they finally free themselves up to say no, it's amazing how like little other projects pop up after you kind of have the confidence to say no. I'm curious if that's been your experience too.
100%, because part of the ways that I learned the hard way is every time I'd say yes to the wrong project, inevitably the right one would show up not too long after, and I would have to say no to the right one because I was so inundated with the wrong ones. Ugh. It's crazy. And then also, you know what? If you're good at picking and choosing what projects you can do, it also lends yourself to maybe follow some passion projects where you can maybe donate your time to, you know, helping nonprofits or different things like that, you know, help them with your area of expertise. So at least, you know, you're following your passion. And, you know, working on things that you want to work on and things that you're proud to be a part of.
Yeah, you know, that's something I've really learned a lot this past year is for a while I was trying to fuse like my passions and what I was doing and what was like kind of paying the bills together. And I'm kind of at this place now where it's like I just do the consistent stuff that's going to bring in revenue that I know is my wheelhouse that I'm good at, and then spend my spare time on the passions versus like trying to create something that doesn't exist, you know? And so what you're talking yep. about here just sounds like, yeah, you do what's in your wheelhouse and then you take that extra energy and you put into the things that are enjoyable. So it's like you get both needs met.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I'm following a passion project, you know, a lot of times I can involve other people outside of the business that, you know, friends or family members, and they can also come in and see the other side of the business. And, you know, we can help one another and, you know, maybe develop some skills, you know, for them and whatnot. It's just a win-win situation for everybody when you can do that.
And I'd love to know, how did you define what type of clients you wanted to work with and what type of projects you wanted to work with?
You know, I didn't start Marketing Press, you know, from that pivot to be unhappy and to spend my time with people that I don't like or don't want to be with, right? I worked at all these agencies and I started a company in the beginning, you know, because I kept getting fired from all these agencies because I was the square peg in a round hole. I deemed myself as 100% unemployable, right? I would work with all these people that I didn't want to work with. And I only did because the principal of the agency or the company said, you have to work with these people. So I said, I'm not going to surround myself with people I don't like. My kind of litmus test is if I can't go out with these people and maybe go to a Suns game or an ASU football game or go out to dinner with them, spend time with them, and I want them to know my family and my personal life, I don't want to be around them and work with them just because they have the money. That's where some of the lifestyle thing comes in. You know, I have a great roster of clients, many of them that I consider friends, you know, many of them that we can share time outside the lines of work and talk about other things that we have common interests. And that really helps me and my company do a better job for them because we're invested and we're vested in their success and their happiness. You know, other things is, you know, we've done all the marketing stuff. We've done client personas and who's an ideal client for us. And we just kind of use that to guide us. But, you know, typically we make sure that, you know, we work with clients who want help, who we can help, and who we can help be successful.
Yeah, and you know, for people who are listening, even if you're listening and you're not an entrepreneur, I think that what Greg is saying is just applicable for everything. It's like it's, you can do the same thing as just people you want to surround yourself with. It could be if you're dating or friends or whatever. Do they make you feel better?
You know, there's a quote, I think it's by Jim Rohn, R-O-H-M, and he says, you know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's totally true. Like if you surround yourself with happy people who help you get better at things, you know, it's just going to further your life and make you a better person and make you a happier person also.
Yeah. You know, I was just, I don't know where it was that I heard it, but Tim Ferriss, somebody had asked him if he only had a few pieces of advice to impart, what would they be? And the first thing he said was exactly what you said. You are the average of the five people closest to you.
To stay on that point, when I see things kind of slipping away and I see myself kind of getting off the path of a good work-life balance, I take a moment and I say, well, who have I been surrounding myself with? Who have I been working with? Who have I been hanging out with? Am I hanging out with the guys who work 19, 20 hours a day? Am I hanging out with guys who work 4 hours a day? You know, where am I in the balance of things? And that's a really good check for myself.
That's a really great point. That's a great question. Huh. And the other thing that I was going to say about how you were saying how you'd want to work with people that you'd want to go to a Suns game with, for example, I just went to Zappos. Have you been on that tour?
No, I have not.
My boyfriend had an event and we went with the group as kind of a, just a fun exercise to go and tour this. I don't know if it's a $1 billion company or many, many multi-millions, but it's just awesome. And so you go in and the tour is so fun. They go and you get to see how they have their company. And Tony Hsieh, who is one of the founders, he said his whole litmus test for the company in hiring anybody, he doesn't care so much about their skill set. It's all, would I want to grab a drink with this person? So there's definitely something to it. And I mean, you can't like everybody. It doesn't mean people are bad or whatever else, but you know, we have natural people that we like being around.
Yeah, and I think people of like interests gravitate to people with like aspirations.
Another thing I want to ask is just about when you were starting your company, what got you to even to start it? Was because I know you said that you're not employable.
Yeah.
So was it just like pretty much trial and error or what?
So the real catalyst was, you know, I got fired from a company and for doing all the right things for my clients, but not following company procedure and not following the corporate policy for helping these people, if that makes sense. If you've ever worked in corporate world and you guys are listening, you can totally understand what I'm saying. So I got called into a room, you know, the owner of the company who I didn't like. So there, first sign, I was working for somebody I didn't like. I got called into the room and I look around the table and it's like, partner, head of HR, my manager. And I said to myself, well, I'm getting fired right now, right? So it was one of those situations where I got fired from a job that I hated, working for people that I didn't like. And also, it was one of those companies that, you know, where the owner and the management would keep kind of beating into your head, this is as good as things are going to get for you professional. This is your luck. You should be happy that you're here. You're lucky to be here because this is as good as it's going to get for you. And, you know, if you work in any sort of circumstances and situation like that for a number of years, you start believing that. And so they fired me. And I remember leaving in the car that they leased for me. What a trip that was, right? They let me take the car home to figure out what I was going to do. I remember just leaving and like, you know, crying and saying, what am I going to do now? Now what is going to happen? I took some time off and another company in the same industry contacted me and they wanted me to work for them. And I went to work with them. And you know what happened? I liked everybody who was at this company. I still wasn't a fit. You know, I still try to do things on my own. I still try to kind of play outside the lines and make a difference to clients, all within, you know, being ethical and moral, of course, but not following corporate procedure and company procedure. And then I've said to myself, I'm done. So I got fired from that company. What a surprise. And then I said, I'm done working for somebody else. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start something with the way that I think business should be run. And caring about people, not bottom line, and trying to help people make their businesses better. Again, I surrounded myself with some really good people as I was making these decisions, who I trust and I still talk to today, who are mentors to me. And I said, am I crazy? Like, can I go out there and do good work and help other people? And if I help enough other people, people are going to learn about who I am and what I can do. And there's a company to be built around that. And that's sort of how the whole, you know, entrepreneurial thing started for me.
So for someone who might be listening to you now and feeling like they're in this job they don't really agree with, they don't want to be in, maybe they're not getting fired though, but they know that there's a better way, would you have some words of advice for them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, just follow your heart, follow what you really want to do and what you want your life to be. We all grow up and we all look ahead at our lives and we say what we imagine our lives to be, you know, whether we're in high school or college or even younger than that. And like, think about like, how far off are you from that? Or is that something that you still want? And if it's not what you want, what do you want? And I think that that's what you should go for, whether it's staying in a company and bucking up and doing things and making sure that, you know, you're toeing the line, or if it's going out and working for yourself, you know, you make that decision and you just follow, you know, your instincts. And the other thing that I can't put enough emphasis on is surround yourself with good people that you trust, that you can talk to, maybe who have been there and who, you know, said, we're in the same situation as you. And you can ask them, you know, what did you do in that situation?
You seem to be really good at collecting people that you can trust. Do you have words of advice for people who don't have that as a skill set?
You know, I think that in an entrepreneurial space, there are a lot of good co-working spaces where you can meet people and you can kind of see where you can click and people who are going through the same things as you are. And I think that that's a great spot. There are other meetup groups where you can start to, you know, develop relationships and kind of form an inner circle. A lot of these things take being a little extroverted. And I know a lot of us, especially in the development world, are introverts. It takes a kind of a leap of faith to get outside of your comfort zone. Go meet people, you know, with similar interests, you know, wherever you think they are, and just start talking to them. More times than not, you know, you're going to find that people are just like you and going through the same things as you are. And that's where good relationships are formed.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's particularly spectacular about you is, and I grew up in the Northeast too, so I really appreciate it, is just
awesome.
Your super directness.
Yeah.
And not beating around the bush and being honest about things. I think people really appreciate that.
I'm not here to sugarcoat anything. I'm not here to tell you that, you know, this world of work life and entrepreneurial is all roses and it's all easy. You know, once you open your door that millions are going to find you. It's a lot of hard work. But if you're working for something that you truly believe in and you're helping people, you know, like we are, it's amazing. When I worked for agencies, I hated Mondays. You know, I used to get this dread in my stomach about Sunday night when football ended and I was finishing dinner and going to bed, and I would dread going to work on Monday. Now I find Monday is the most exciting day in my week because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who I'm going to encounter or what we're going to work on or, you know, all that stuff. I always find Monday to be like the most exciting day. I can't wait to get back at it.
Do you have the experience of like feeling more alive now that you have your business?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, as an adult, you know, and as a person and as a friend and all of that, I think that I've really been able to come into my own and figure out exactly what I want and, you know, what I want to do, and then be able to take clear, you know, clear-minded steps to achieve those things.
And one thing I'd love to ask people is just to make this real. I know I want our listeners to know too, you know, you're a real human. You've got everyday struggles. We never stop evolving. So what's something right now that you're working through in your life and how are you getting through it?
This is like a therapy session. I think that, you know, those two things are, one, on the business side, how do I scale the business and how do I continue to replace myself and keep the business moving in the direction where we want it to go. You know, 2015 has already shown that it has a lot of opportunities for where Marketing Press can go. And it's just now it's a matter of making good decisions. The other side of it is, you know, I struggle with constantly thinking about my legacy. My legacy meaning, what am I doing to impact the world? And what am I doing to help other people? And how, you know, will I be perceived? You know, or how am I perceived? You know, things like that. Not that I really care a whole lot about what people think of me, but the kind of on a personal level, but on a kind of a reputation level of things. Like, what am I doing to let people know that I'm a good person, that I care about their business? The other thing that I'm still working through is I'm just like anybody else. I'm working through this work-life balance thing. I'm making sure that I take time out for myself. You know, I hired a personal trainer. I work out 3 times a week. I go running, you know, another 3 times a week. I play soccer on the weekends with my friends. And it's a struggle because a lot of times work will pop up and I have to say, no, I'm going to go for this hour to work out with Andrew, my trainer. That hour is just for me and I'm going to come back and I'm going to tackle whatever's there. those are the things that I constantly struggle with. I'm not perfect. Nobody is, but you know, I just try to get better at these things, you know, every day.
Totally. I'm curious, have you defined what you want for your legacy? What you want to leave as a legacy?
You know, I think it changes. The big picture would be known as somebody who ran a company that helped other people. And then as a person, I want to be remembered as a good friend and somebody who was always, you know, there to help. Whether it's a cause or, you know, again, a brand or whatever it is, you know, just a helpful human being, I guess.
Well, it's helpful to just know that so that you can kind of make decisions from that place.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know where you're going or what you want when it comes to that stuff, you know, how can you make decisions for your future?